We read from the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the holy ones. Here are they who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, happy are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We read from the Apocalypse Explained, number 899, which explains these words, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from now on, signifies the resurrection into eternal life of those who have lived here for a life of charity and so will live henceforth. The dead that are blessed and those that die mean also those that are to rise again into life hereafter, who are such who live a life of charity. Death signifies resurrection, and thus the dead signify those who rise again into eternal life, because death signifies hell, and thus evils and falsities. And these must die that a man may receive spiritual life. For until these are dead and extinct with man, he has no spiritual life, which is the life that is meant in the word by life, eternal life and resurrection. Therefore, to die means here and elsewhere in the word the extinction of the life that is man's own or of his proprium, which regarded in itself consists solely of evils and falsities from them. And because when that life has been extinguished, spiritual life enters in its place. So the dead in the Lord signify those who have been made spiritual by the Lord. Moreover, to die can mean in the spiritual sense resurrection, because the angels who are in the spiritual sense of the word know nothing about natural death, by which man is taken out of this world, but they know only about spiritual death, which comes to those who are being regenerated by the Lord by means of temptations, and with whom evils and falsities therefore are being subdued and put to death. Again, natural death is nothing but resurrection, for the reason that when the body dies, man rises again as to his spirit, and thus death is simply a continuation of his life. For through death, man passes from life in the natural world into life in the spiritual world, with the difference only that the life in the natural world is more external and imperfect, and the life in the spiritual world is more internal and perfect. And yet the two are alike in appearance, as can be seen from things heard and seen that are related in the work, heaven and hell. That natural death, which is a rejection of unclean things of the body, and spiritual death, which is the removal of unclean things of the spirit, signify resurrection, can be seen also from John. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The same is true of man, who, that he may rise again, must die both as to the body and as to what is own, his proprium, which in itself is infernal. For unless both of these die, he does not have the life of heaven. Amen. When we hear about death, we're usually sad. And yet we see that no one can escape death. We all know that none of us can escape the death of the body, because that's the way we go into the other world. But we can also, if we're going to go into life eternal, if we're going to go into the life of heaven, we cannot escape the other death that is spoken of here. The death of what is our own, the proprial loves, the things that are not good. We cannot escape that kind of death if we want to go into heaven. And what's sad is they so much feel like us. We so much identify with those things. And so when they're going, it really does feel like something is dying. And yet that's not the case at all. Because as we put those things away, the heavenly doctrine actually says these external things that we put away serve as soil for the spiritual growth that comes. Just think about something about learning a subject. Perhaps you learn about history. And you learn all the facts about history. You know all sorts of things about history. But then you begin to understand in history the causes of the events, why somebody won the battle, why some civilization came and went, and you're beginning to think rationally. That's sort of like the seed in the fruit. those knowledges sort of pass away, and you're beginning to think rationally, which is like the seed. But the heavenly doctrines go another step further. The seed, those rational thoughts, actually also dies back. And the good within, the sight of the Lord in his divine providence, the sight of the Lord throughout all of history, begins to live. That's that prolific germ within. And so first the knowledges die back. When we get to the other world, we're not going to know about different kingdoms and what land was this and what land was that. And even the external causes, such as a witty general or a powerful king, those things also will pass away. But what will remain is the sight of the Lord in his kingdom. In the same way, when we think about math and science, we learn these things, we can do our multiplication tables, we can do all that. And that starts helping us think logically so that we can actually make sense of things. And so when we see scientific things like how a seed falls into the ground and grows, now we're starting to understand how things work. And that would be like the seed. The knowledges, the mere facts, are like the fruit that fell. But within that is the prolific germ. The ability to see the Lord himself making that seed grow. The ability to see the Lord in his power of creation throughout the universe. That is that prolific seed. That's what lives to eternity. And the angels see the Lord everywhere in the spiritual world, which is why it's so much better than this world. We have to think deeply to see the Lord there. But there, they just see it. Light is truth for them. And so that logic turns into the ability to see the actual truth. But it's even more important when we think about how we grow. At first, we're kind of selfish. At first, we think about getting things for ourselves, about maybe getting a job that pays good money, getting a nice house, making sure that we're physically happy. And that's not so bad. But if that's all we think about, that really isn't what's going to give us life. Then we think about the uses those serve, how we can raise a family, how we can help other people in the world, how we can see things get better than they were before. And so the money we have becomes useful in the world. But even there, the goals are still of this world. And so first we have the external happiness, which is like the fruit, and it gradually dies back. And then the seed within, which is the uses we serve for people here. But then comes the real use. The ability to let those things go for the sake of eternal life. To look in charity, is this going to help somebody get to heaven? Is this good? And so the writings tell us that that prolific germ within that seed that died is good itself. That's the presence of the Lord. And of course, if we think about it, if we carry with us the evil and selfish things with us, if we don't let those die back, what's going to happen? If we don't follow the Lord's commandments and get rid of those evil things in our life, well, then the good things can't grow, and it just shrivels away. But if we start putting those things off, if we start shunning evils as sins, if we start seeing things that are wrong and getting rid of them in our life, and we start receiving something really good in our life. And that goodness that comes is like that seed. And at first, it's still somewhat around ourselves. We're still thinking about how good I am. But gradually, the focus turns from ourselves to the Lord and his kingdom and to the neighbor around us. And when that focus happens, that's like the old things dying back and that new life growing. And that is what the Lord wants for us. And so as we look around us outside and we see all these leaves falling down and we see the things dying back, this is surely not pretty at first. This doesn't look that good. This is like maybe an old person in a hospital who doesn't look very well at all. But what's happening? Maybe the body is dying, but the good earth is growing and the seeds that are in there are going to live to eternity. Somebody's getting ready for heaven. And so when we look at something like this, at first it doesn't look good. But if we think about what's happening, about that soil within, and about how the Lord made man from the dust of the soil and breathed into him the breath of lives, then we can see that although we pass through fall and even winter, the spring will come. But we don't want it to come back just the way it was before. We want it to come back with the ability to see the Lord, to live for the Lord, and to receive spiritual life.